You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Ashley Winch in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Tuesday, May 27th, episode 3699 by Worm Flooring. Good morning, Horse World.
And this is where we'll make believe there's an opening bumper because I don't have one for Tuesday. So
la 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 la. It's Tuesday, not Monday.
Thank you for that. I just realized I don't even have an opening bumper for Tuesday. So this is weird. We're here on a Tuesday because yesterday we had off and we thought, well, we'll do a show today. So we're here, but Jamie's not here because she had to do a very important task today. She was planning on being here till Chad found out on Friday that he had a colonoscopy today. So they don't give you a lot of warning. They just say next week sometime, and then they call you and tell you what to show up. Now, the bad thing for Chad, and I texted him yesterday to harass him a little, is yesterday was Memorial Day, and his family, because they're all veterans and stuff, have a big celebration with a lot of food, which he could not eat in preparation for today. So Chad was feeling a little sad for himself yesterday. But having done this about 10 times in the last 5 years, I did feel for him. But she had to run him in there because he can't go in alone. So that's what she was doing this morning. Thank you to Ashley for filling in last minute. We really appreciate you being here. And we're going to continue with our breeds of the alphabet. What are we doing today?
Today, we are on letter I, and we are going to be listening in to a breeder talking about Irish draft horses, which is not spelled draft like a beer. That's the fun fact I can bring to the table.
Yeah, I keep spelling it wrong. Because a Percheron draft is
a draft
like a beer.
Horse.
Yeah.
But this is D-R-A-U-G-H-T.
First thing
and we're going to all be educated by breeder Sarah Bright Phillips.
And then for you Dr. Wendy fans, we actually recorded this interview a couple years ago, I think when Dr. Wendy was on. So we'll have that for you today. Then we have two product reviews for you today. We have Auditor Angela. She's joining us to review the Carrots Watershed Rain Jacket. And I'm going to do a horse husband's review today of something that I've been testing and absolutely loved. And that is a weed whacker. And you say, why am I reviewing a weed whacker? Because I had one that I absolutely hated. And then got this new one and absolutely love it. And I know you horse husbands out there, a lot of them are assigned to weed whacking and mowing duties. So I'm going to do that first today before we even start the show. I'm going to do that. So if you want to play this back to your horse husband or the person who does your weed whacking around the farm, then you can do that right at the beginning of the show. So that's when I do horse husband stuff, it's going to be right at the beginning so you can play it back to them and then they don't have to suffer through the rest of the show. So we're going to do that. And then in the Auditor Post show, Ashley and I are going to give you the latest from HRN, kind of our monthly HRN review. We have some exciting new announcements as well, so we're going to do that in the Auditor Post show. But my horse husband product review, so we're going to start right here at the beginning. I used an Echo gas trimmer for years. The problem with that is it's a gas trimmer. So you have to have an extra, you know, you already have 12 tanks of gas around for the tractor, for the diesel, and then you have to have regular gas for the mowers, and you have to have your chainsaw gas, which is special mixed with the oil, and the same with the weed whacker. It's just a pain in the ass. And then they don't start, and you have to go get them fixed, and it just was a pain. So I said, when we moved to the new farm, I wanted to switch to a battery. So we have all Ryobi tools from Home Depot, and I have five Ryobi batteries. And I was like, well, I'll get a Ryobi trimmer. And I used it about 10 times. And Jennifer will, she's over here listening. Jennifer will tell you how many times I bitched about this trimmer. She just said, I don't want to hear it anymore. Because every time I used it, I bitch about this trimmer. The problem with it was it ran fine. And the battery was fine. It ran fine. It just used a crazy amount of line because it was one of those weed whackers where you bang it on the ground to get the line to come out. But the problem was it was so sensitive that anytime I would remotely even touch the ground, line would come out. So in one or two uses, about 15 to 30 minutes of use, I'd have to put in all new line. I would just
eat
the line. It was just awful. It was awful. It just pissed me off so bad. So, and then it only ran about 15 minutes on the battery. And I have the larger Ryobi batteries too. And it only ran about 15 minutes. So finally, Jennifer was so tired of me whining. She said I could get a different one because I had just bought this one. And I talked to my brother and he said, you have to get this trimmer. I've been using it for 2 years. Absolutely love it. It's the best thing ever. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to be spending about triple what I did on the first one. This is not cheap, but I'll tell you what, I've used the Ego Power Plus string trimmer now for about 5 times. And yesterday I used it for an hour. And I'll tell you what, I haven't replaced the string once on this. It has a self-feeding string, so it knows when it needs string. I don't know. It's magic.
Wow.
And so you can bang it on the ground all you want to. which was, you know, when you're weed whacking, especially through weeds and stuff, you hit the ground.
Or if there's a rock under there, I mean, that's just,
or your fence, you hit the wire fence, it jerks you and then you hit it. So I've been using this now for probably 4 hours total. It runs, this battery is big. I got the 4 amp hour battery. They sell a 2 and a 4. I got the 4. It runs almost an hour on the
charge. Is it heavy?
The battery is heavy as hell.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when I took the battery out of the box, I went, oh my God, this battery's heavy. But they make up for it a little bit in that the shaft of the Weed Whacker is carbon fiber. So
it's
kind of lightweight. But it's a lot of it's made out of metal. So this is not a cheap plastic thing.
It's a heavy duty.
Yeah, it's heavy duty. And I got to tell you, this thing, the auto feed works perfectly. I have not replaced line in 4 hours. Yet. Still has line left. There's no problem with the bump. And it is powerful. This thing cuts through our thick Florida weeds, the really stringy ones. Cuts through those, no problem. I mean, it has 2 speeds too. One, first speed's just for cutting grass, like you're doing around your barn or yard. The second one's you're going through the woods. You know, you're cutting down stuff. And that just speeds it up. And I mean, it speeds it up. It's a lot of power. I had no trouble at all. The nice thing about the even with the battery being heavy, you need a strap for this. You have to use a shoulder strap. Unless you're a weightlifter, you're not going to use this thing without a shoulder strap, which is true of most of them if you're going to weed whack for a large period of time or fence rows or whatever.
Take care of yourself.
So use the strap. It's no problem. It just hangs there. But the nice part about the heavy battery is it weights it perfectly. They planned it.
Oh, like a counterbalance.
And it works perfectly. It's like it's not even heavy. Once you put the strap on, you don't even notice it's there. I did an hour and my arms weren't even tired.
I got to tell you, my favorite chores are weed whacking and anything with a pressure washer because it's so satisfying.
It is satisfying.
Oh,
it wasn't satisfying when I was using the Ryobi one. I was pissed every time I was done. It just made me so mad. And so when I now Jennifer's happy because all I do is brag about this weed whacker. So it's Ego.
Is your husband cranky? Get him a new weed whacker.
It's Ego Power Plus String Trimmer. I'll put a link to directly on Amazon where I bought it. Now it's $260. So by the time I bought extra string, it was probably almost $300. But I'll tell you what, it was, as Jennifer said, it's the best $300 we've ever spent because I'm not bitching all the time.
I mean, look at this. It's affecting your wellness. This is practically a write-off from your mental health, Glenn.
Ashley, what happens when men have a problem with something? What do they do?
They just keep living with it usually.
Well, and what do? They bitch about it, right? Every single time. Or you do what I did. I bitched about it every single time. And then I just stopped weed whacking because I just didn't want to do it anymore because it pissed me off every time. So that wasn't helping either because, you know, we have electric fence and you kind of have to. So anyway, there it is. There's my horse husband review. I highly recommend it. We're looking at getting an electric chainsaw now for the same reason. Chainsaws.
Woohoo! You know, watch hassle. Out.
I was looking at the Ego ones. It'll be an Ego. So check that out. I found them on Amazon. That was the cheapest place I found them. They have them at Lowe's and a couple other places, but Amazon had them cheapest. So that's my review today. I hope I know all of you that don't weed whack were bored by that, but there you go. Tough. Us horse husbands have to talk too. All right. Daily Winnie time. Happy birthday to you. So happy birthday to Colt, Claire, Casey, Emily, Shona, and Chelsea. A lot of birthdays in the auditors today. And Emily, I need to talk to you. Emily's our auditor out of Alaska, Anchorage. And Emily, I need to talk to you because we're at the point now where we're all booking flights to Anchorage and we're going to have a horsey day up there with Emily. So I need to talk to you this week about that. We need to work out a time so that everybody can book their flights. So if you're hearing this, let me know. I sent you a message too. But happy birthday to all of you. We have a brand new auditor too. I think I have a mother-in-law that's named Alita. This is Alina. I have never seen an Alina. I hope I'm saying that.
Alina,
right.
Maybe?
Alina? Alina? I don't know.
It's
Alina.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
We're happy you're here.
Yeah, we're glad you're here. And you know, it's a badge of honor if I mispronounce your name. So one of us has at this point. So
you're starting out strong.
Yeah. You're in good company with everybody else I've mispronounced over the years. All right, your turn.
For my Daily Whinny, I was really excited to see one of our hosts, Reese Koffler-Stanfield, had shared on Facebook that Nicole Babich-Morin of Quebec is the recipient of the first ever Philip Parks Memorial Coaching Scholarship. Aww. So you guys might remember we lost Phil, is it 2 years ago now? Yeah. Golly. And he was the co-host for over a decade of the Dressage Radio show. And we just wanted to highlight the good that is still coming from Phil. So just wanted to take a beat and say congrats to Nicole. And we love that Phil's still out here. Send it out good vibes and helping people.
This made me so happy when I saw it. And I know some of you donated to his memorial coaching fund. So we appreciate that too. We miss Phil. His birthday was 2 weeks ago, I think. And I talked to Reese that day. And, you know, Reese is still having a hard time with this because they were best friends forever. Mm-hmm. Phil was Reese's coach. And, of course, they had done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes of the Dressage Show together every week. I have Phil's. I'm happy to report that I had planted the three orange trees for my three friends that have died, Phil, Lee, and Neil, and they're all doing great. And a matter of fact, who is it? Lee has like five oranges on him growing. So,
look at him. Yeah. Just, we love it.
So every time I go to the barn, we actually pass the memorial trees. We planted them between the barn and the house for that reason. So
I love that.
I got to get my little plaques made. I'm going to get a little plaques made. And
yeah.
Now when we eat oranges, we'll think of those guys. And they all liked oranges, so that'll make them happy. So we got to talk about Worm here before we get to our first guest, Worm Flooring, of course. You know what? You know, your flooring in your trailer is a pain. You have to pick up the mats. You have to clean underneath. At least you're supposed to. You know, nobody does it. Nobody does it enough like they're supposed to. We usually did it once a year. You're supposed to do it like once a month. And that's why Worm Flooring came into being. They rip your mats out and they put this rubberized flooring directly over your floor. It stops it from leaking. You don't have to worry about cleaning underneath the mats anymore. You just hose this sucker out. And it's sealed. It's maintained. It protects your floor. So you don't have to worry about that. It's slip resistant. It also it kind of has a barrier between the ground and your floor, so you don't have to worry about stuff coming up through either. And you don't have to worry about the aluminum degrading. It protects that. They can actually put this over wood too. It depends on the quality of how good the wood is. Like it's already rotten, that's a problem. But you can call them and find out today. Jamie had this done for her trailer. You can find out there's dealers near you and how much it costs and all that stuff at wormflooring.com. You can get a multitude of colors too. They have a lot of different colors.
That's what I was going to say. Yep. You guys, every color, purple, green, orange, it's so fancy.
Poop brown. You can get a poop brown if you want to be boring. So Worm Flooring, WERMflooring.com to find a dealer near you.
It's time for Breeds of the Alphabet. From Arabians to zebras, we take you on an adventure, highlighting a breed for every letter of the alphabet. Can we do it? Stay tuned in 2025 and find out.
That's right. We are making our way through the alphabet thanks to Ashley's hard work. I know this has taken I think this was your idea in the beginning, wasn't it? Breeds of the Alphabet.
No, Glenn, it's your idea.
I keep trying to blame Ashley.
Thanks for that.
I know she's had a tough time getting through some of the letters here.
But our auditors have been a big help. When I get stuck, I post something in the auditor room and somebody always thinks of something. Even if they're creative, they still work.
Well, one of the breeds that's been very popular here lately in a bunch of different disciplines is the Irish Draft. And Dr. Wendy at Irish Drafts. And that's the one we're going to talk about today. And we're going to be speaking to breeder Sarah Bright Phillips. And actually, we did this interview a couple years ago. This is one we picked up from the past. But she was such a good interview, we thought it would be a good representation of the Irish Draft breed. And here you go.
Well, our next guest is Sarah Bright Phillips of Bell Tower Stud in England, and she and her husband Tony are some of the top Irish Draft horse breeders and handlers in the world. So welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Wendy. Thank you for your enthusiastic introduction.
Well, you are. You're like big time.
That's kind of you to say. It's a small pond, kind of.
So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about your farm and what you guys do over there and about your stallions.
We currently have, we're standing two stallions this season. We have about 9 or 10 horses on the farm. We have all purebred Irish drafts, except for we bred our first British bred sport horse foal this year. The rest are all purebreds. So we have a small band of mares, a small group of stallions, and we breed a bit ourselves, but we mostly serve outside breeders.
Oh, that's great. And the reason why we wanted you on the show today is because Jamie is experiencing some training issues with a crossbred Irish draft. So we wanted to talk a little bit about the Irish draft breed. So that she can get a little bit of a sense of everything about it. And we have a lot of auditors that also love the Irish drafts and the sport horses. So what initially brought you to the breed?
Wendy, I think it was you. It was you. I met you when I was still in college and you had Irish drafts. You had 2 purebred Irish drafts, I believe. So that was my first experience with Irish drafts.
And, that was your first Irish draft experience?
Well, I think I worked at a hunt club also when I was in university, and I'm sure they had Irish draft horses and Irish draft sport horses in, but it wasn't something that would have been on my radar, so I wouldn't have really clocked it as such. But no, that was my first experience with Irish drafts, and then I met my husband who had Irish drafts, and that's how I got like super into Irish drafts.
Yeah, and Tony's been into Irish drafts since he was a little kid, right? I mean, didn't he start with Maggie?
Yeah, he started when he was 11 because he's old and they could start working at a young age when he was a lad.
Back in the day.
Yeah. So he started when he was 11 and he's always done Irish drafts as well. So I feel like he should feel really lucky that I met him before I met his horses. Otherwise, he would probably have to question why I was with him, but I didn't.
I was going to say, did you like, you're on your Tinder profile or you're like, only Irish draft enthusiast?
No, but it would have worked.
they met at an Irish draft horse show because it was at Upperville.
Yeah, we met at Upperville. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, and like all of our dates were horse shows. I think our third date was a regional Irish draft show.
Oh my God, that's so true. I forgot about it. It was so long ago.
I know. Okay, thanks. It wasn't that long ago.
When you were just a tiny baby.
I know, I was a tiny baby. I had no idea what it's getting into. But I mean, honestly, I think that's kind of the cool thing, obviously for me, Irish drafts in particular, but like, you know, the breed really links a lot of varied people and from all over the world and your experiences in that. It is a breed that has brought a lot to my life, not just horse-wise.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to ask a little bit of the history of the Irish draft before we get further into the one that I have in training right now. But what is it about the Irish draft?
Oh my God, they're exactly what it says on the tin. Everything that they're billed, they are. You know, they have great conformation. They have great temperaments. They're good doers. They are, you know, their quality and substance. They're powerful, yet still athletic. Obviously, the breed originates from Ireland. The draft was initially the name comes from drafted into World War One. I think the stud book, they started recording breedings in 1917. The breed was drafted into World War One, which is also why there are so few black and dark colored horses in the breed, because they were used for cavalry horses, I believe. So the breed originated in Ireland, and kind of an average working horse, kind of a warm blood type thing. You know, there were obviously thoroughbreds about and cobby type things, and it was a gentleman's horse that could take the family to church on Sunday and hunt to hounds at the weekend and plow an acre of land in the week, and the mares could produce a foal a year and still work and do jobs while they were carrying foals.
Amazing.
And until about 10 years ago, I think at the Royal Dublin Show, they still had a class where the horse had to do all of those things. They had to pull a little carriage. They had to pull a log. They had to jump 3 foot, and then they had to do confirmation class, right?
I never got to see that class, but I would have loved to have seen it. That would be a great class, but a totally perfect Irish draft class.
Yeah, it was a perfect Irish draft class. So what would you say the draw to, like, because the woman that has the Irish draft, her name is Patty, that sent him to me for training, his name is Alistar. Her dream was to have an Irish draft from like the young age. It was like her life goal, and to find one. And she ended up buying him as a weanling and picked him up. He was from Canada and came down and now is in Oklahoma. But her dream, like, I mean, my dream was like, I'm going to ride an Andalusian on the beach. And she's like, I want an Irish draft horse, you know? So what is drawn in somebody like that? What do they see? What do they, she's an eventer. So what do you think it is about the Irish draft that drew her like that?
You know what? First of all, the Irish in general as people are very charming, and they're really fun to be around. And I would say the same for Irish drafts. They are charming horses, and they're so fun to be around. They have a sense of humor, but part of their confirmation is that is a proud front. Interestingly, I believe genetically they do have some Iberian influence, so they're not too far from your Andalusian, but they have a huge history as fantastic fox hunters and horses to go across country, and they have a fifth leg, so they can get themselves out of trouble. They're really smart horses. They can think their way out of trappy going, but they are, I think a lot of it is their personality and their temperament. They are kind of like the Irish. They are just, they do get you.
I think they're like giant ponies. It's like if you were like picking a pony for your kids, you'd want like a really adorable Section A Welsh, but they're like giant Section A Welsh cob crosses that you can ride because they have a pony attitude. And especially Sarah's and Tony's line are very great personalities like that. Whereas warm bloods to me, like European warm bloods, seem like very serious, like German people. You know, they always joke around. So what Sarah's saying about the Irish people and the Irish horse, like, just like, I think that your personality, you kind of tend towards to have horses with that personality. And that's how I think they evolve like that. Plus, if you've ever hunted in Ireland, you see like what those people do. My God. I mean, you have to have a pretty daring, smart horse to do those things.
Well, this horse that came to me for training, he was purchased, like I said, as a weanling, and then has been allowed to kind of run the farm at her place. And when she rides, she lets him run around the arena. And so he has the problem is he came to my house, and I'm like, okay, we stand in a stall for like 3-4 hours a day, and then I put him in a paddock. So they all come up when they're being worked, and then they all go back out, and he had a paddock with a run. Well, I have a big field with a bunch of geldings in it, and he was up in a fairly substantial paddock in the barn. And he's like, I'm not going to live in this paddock. I would like to run with the rest of the herd. And he decided that he was going to take down the fence, which he did in several sections, wooden fence. And he just, like, but this is not a thing that I
respect at all. And so he just pushed his way through all the fencing, broke all the boards, and left. And I came up, I walked out, and I was like, oh, that horse does not belong in that part of the pasture. So is that typical, or is that kind of, because he's a traditional Irish draft. So he's half, his dad was a half Irish draft and his mom was a thoroughbred.
I would say there is definitely a pocket of Irish drafts that appreciate their size and realize that they are really big, strong guys. And if jumping out feels like too much of an effort, or actually if they think that you would be more impressed by them dismantling the fence, they will take that option.
I was very impressed. Very impressed. Now, the other thing that I have is Alistair is very, very kind, very sweet, very all the things that you're saying. And he is very much a large pony, Wendy, because now I've never been able to sit on a horse so quickly that came to me. I mean, on day one, I put the saddle on him and he'd never had a girth on or anything like that. And every single thing that I have done, he's like, oh, okay. Like, Dot has not cared. I mean, so many of the horses you put that first girth on and they're like, oh my God. And he's like, okay. And then I have a giant teddy bear that's like the size of two humans and I throw it up on him and I tie the teddy bear to the surcingle and they ride around with it. God. And he was like, okay. So there's a giant bear on my back. I don't care.
I love that you have a teddy bear for your training equipment.
Yeah, we call him, his name is Buck the Bear. And oh my gosh, he is the first rider on all of the horses because I'm old and I don't want to do that. So Buck gets on him and no problem. He's like, oh yeah, there's a bear on me. Then put the first human on him. He's like, okay, totally cool. Bridle, put the bridle in. Okay, this is the thing now. And now he's like, okay, you can get on me. I can put him in the cross ties. He's been here like 10 days. I put him in the cross ties. I fully tack him up and walk him out and get on. Here's the problem. I would like to not move. I'm fine with you sitting on me, but I don't really want to go forward. So now we're moving forward and now we're moving forward at the trot in the round pin with somebody on the ground. But then we put him in the big arena yesterday and my rider asked him to go and he's like pins his ears and like kicked at his belly. He's like, no, I'm not moving. I mean, I always win, but like, how can I make that win more his decision than mine?
Well, Jamie, that's a great question. And I actually, everything you've described like many an Irish draft owner is going to be nodding their head and saying, my horse is exactly the same way. Like, as far as the backing, that is really common. They have that temperament. They just accept things. They're trusting, they're confident. They take that for, yeah, this is probably going to be fine. Cause like, I know you and trust you. But I just, how old is he? Is he just three?
He is going to be three in May. But, and I don't usually like to sit on horses, but my vet called me. She's also the vet of Alistair. And she's like, you need to start this horse. I can't, like, he needs some training. So he's only going to be here for like a month and then we'll restart him again in the fall when he's a little bit older, but he just needed some boundaries because like I said, she let him run everywhere and do all the things. And I mean, he had not even stood in a stall. So that was also a challenge because he thought he could push the stall like he did the gate and it didn't work. So it was very much a challenge just to get him to accept any sort of confinement. He is in the big pasture with all the horses now. I'm like, no, I can't. Wood is too expensive right now. But in the stall, yeah, totally. But the stall he's now really good at. But again, it's just that like I you can do anything to me, but I really don't want to, I don't get my heart rate up.
You know, I do think actually it is sort of a draft thing as well. They like to be out. I mean, once you have as many buttons as you feel like you need in the arena, he's going to want to be out with friends, just like any other normal horse. But you know, a warm blood or a thoroughbred, they're a little bit, Irish drafts have an independent streak. And my inclination, breed specific, would be he wants to go out. He's like, hey, I got it. You're on my back. I understand all the things you're saying. Haven't you seen how good I am? I've done this.
Okay. That is fantastic. I do think that
for the Irish drafts, like just like the babies, if you hack them out with other horses, whereas normally you wouldn't risk that on like a kind of a hotter horse.
Yeah.
You're going to be safe on his back. They're not going to just take off bucking. I mean, they might, but you know, but I think the Irish drafts tend to like to be out and about hacking out, and they don't want to do ring stuff because it's stupid and boring.
Yeah. I mean, they'll get there. They will get there and they'll enjoy that. But yeah, like I don't have an arena at my farm right now, and I have a 5-year-old that I've just sent off because he needs to be getting out, and I don't have, my hacking is really boring and I don't have anyone to go with. So while I'm starting a 4-year-old, I did the same as you did. I started him at 3 and then I turned him away. I'm starting him again, and he can do some work in the arena, then he'll have to go out. But my 5-year-old, he needed to be out right now. So he's off just hacking and going to the gallops and the grocery store and all that kind of stuff.
I want to live in England. That's so cool. But yeah, that's a great advice, actually. That is incredibly helpful, because what I did notice, and I told my rider yesterday, I was like, you know, if anything, the worst thing he's going to do is stop. You know, he's not going to take up, but he doesn't have the energy to go and be naughty. Like he just stops. But I do have a great hacking trail, and I think that that's what he's going to have to do today. Fantastic advice. You're right. He just needs to get out. And I do ride him with his best friend is my 29-year-old draft cross gelding.
Aww.
And they go together all the time, and the Duke always leads all the babies on trails. Aww. And everything. So that's fantastic. That's what we're doing today. You saved my life.
You got it.
Well, what is coming? I'm looking at your stallions right now, and do you still have Silver Wind Twister?
Charlie? Oh my gosh. Of course we have Charlie. Oh, he's so gorgeous and adorable. He's so sweet.
Oh my God, he is so stunning. Tell us about
him. To me, he's like the epitome of Irish draft, you know, when you think about
it. He is. So Charlie has been standing with Tony and I since, oh my gosh, I want to say since maybe 2015, I think. So Charlie is owned by a woman up in Yorkshire named Sue Tennant. And Sue has his full brother, who was, I want to say in 2017 or 18, he was at the Horse of the Year show. He was heavyweight Cobb champion, and he went on to become Supreme Cobb champion. So, you know, he's like the Cobb type, and Charlie's very much a hunter type. You know, he's like 16'2", and he's just moves like a dream, and he's sweet as sweet can be. And he's just an absolutely lovely horse, and he's really producing fantastic stock. He's got just enough quality. That he's not produced, you know, he doesn't produce coarse or heavy. He produces really athletic stock that still, you know, he's got 9.5 inches of bone. He's got, he's a big guy, but it's not all heavy, clunky, like old school, not old school draft. I don't like that term, but he's not what you think of when you think of necessarily a draft horse per se, but he is really traditional.
He's like a really sporty truck, like, and he looks very comfortable. Yeah. And he's not a sports car because he's a truck, you know, but he's a sports truck.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Especially so cool. Though Americans, what we think of as draft, we're bred to pull heavy weights, right? And these Irish drafts were always riding horses. First and foremost.
It's really interesting, just real quick, I don't mean to be on too strong of an Irish draft tangent, but you know, the US doesn't have showing classes the way here there are weight classes. When I say weight, I mean there's hunter classes that are divided into how much weight the horse would carry. And it, you know, kind of goes in like Welsh's by size, but there are weight classes in hunters, and then there are cobs, and there are riding horses, and they're all a slightly different type. So there's a lot of opportunities for Irish drafts to show as horses under saddle in and amongst horses of their same type. In the US, people use drafts for eventing, show jumping primarily. They cross them for sport horses, but it's created this sort of weird dichotomy where in the US, they mostly do sports, like they're sport horses, mm-hmm. and they're not show horses, but in England they're show horses, and they're not so often used as eventers and show jumpers and all that, just because of what's there. So you stick with what you have, but there isn't so much crossover. I think it's getting better now. People are looking to draft. There's a dressage championship, British dressage runs, an Irish draft dressage championship, which is really well supported and has great draft showing in it. And the drafts are getting, you know, they're stepping out into other disciplines, but there's a real difference in how they're used in the US to England and Ireland, et cetera.
How are the numbers of Irish drafts? Is it a breed that we really have to worry about, or are they thriving?
That's a really good question, because the numbers are also informed by the genetic diversity. So we might have, in theory, enough horses, but there is some argument as to whether there is enough genetic diversity in the gene pool long term. So we look really hard at pedigrees and outcrosses and how much inbreeding there is. It's not as desperate as, say, the Suffolk or the Cleveland Bays, but it is something that has to be paid attention to. So it's great to have these populations in the US and in Canada and in England and Ireland to sort of develop these bloodlines that can then be crossed back and forth to diversify the gene pool.
So where can people go to see your horses, see your stallions, to meet Charlie and all that? What is the website where everybody
can
get it?
Our website is belltowerstud.com. If you're, obviously you guys are in the US, there's the Irish Draft Horse Society of North America. Then, you know, there's obviously different places in Ireland and England. You know, there's a breed society in England and a couple of breed societies in Ireland that you can get, you know, all kinds of information.
Cosequin, the number one veterinarian-recommended joint health supplement brand, is excited to announce the launch of its newest supplement, Cosequin ASU Balance. This advanced formula supports joint, immune, and digestive health. Cosequin ASU Balance helps moderate the inflammatory responses that can cause immune and GI tract disturbances through postbiotics and beta-glucans. The formula also includes the comprehensive joint supplement Cosequin is known for, with ingredients such as ASU, hyaluronic acid, and Boswellia serrata extract. With over 30 years behind the Cosequin name, you can rely on Cosequin products when performance matters. To learn more, speak with your veterinarian or visit Cosequin.com.
Okay, hold on, Ashley. I got to talk to the people here. So okay. I got to tell everybody that was not a recorded commercial. When Ashley goes into commercial mode, she gets her professional voice on and she goes right
it's
into
true.
It. It's so funny because you're all bubbly and fun, and then you go into commercial mode, and it's like you're on TV reading a commercial. Oh, it's just so funny because I was like, "Is this recorded? Did I hit play?"
I don't know if I ever told you, Glenn, because I do a lot of voiceover stuff for Equine Network as a whole. And Zach was watching YouTube recently. He's been into fly fishing since we've moved here. And all of a sudden, an Equestrian Plus ad played on YouTube. And he's sitting in the living room and he yells my name. I come running out and he's like, "You're on my YouTube. Why are you on my YouTube?" And it was a voiceover ad I did for Equestrian Plus.
Oh, he recognized your voice right away, huh?
Yes.
He knows your ad reading voice too.
It was so funny.
It's funny, when they heard Ashley do the first commercial we ever did when you first started, they were like, "Oh, she's doing all our commercials." That's funny. Well, I had to just say that because it is funny when you go into the mode, because it's so professional.
It is a mode.
Jamie and I are over here doing commercials like, you know, they're not professional at all. And then Ashley comes in and makes us sound classy. We have another one of our terrific auditors joining us today, and she's doing a product review. The product reviews are provided by StatelineTech.com. And in this case, carrots. Everybody loves carrots. We'll find out if Angela loved her carrots. Hey, Angela, where are you calling from?
Actually, now I'm in my office in Kearneysville, West Virginia, but I live in Boonesboro, Maryland.
Okay, so you do live in an area that rains, so that's good. You were able to test this out. You've gotten a lot of it this year, haven't you?
We've gotten a lot of rain.
You were glad you got this test product when you did.
Absolutely. You got it.
So you got the Carrots Watershed Rain Jacket.
Yes.
So tell us about what this jacket looks like. You know, give us kind of a description.
Well, first I'll start with, I was super excited because I went through HRM before another Carrots jacket, one of my all time favorites. In fact, I keep gravitating to Carrots, and this one did not disappoint. It's very lightweight, so it's not necessarily one that you would want in the colder months, but it is absolutely perfect when it's real humid and you've got that a mist or a downpour, this thing held up because Glenn and I were just saying it's been pouring rain
both.
Here in Maryland quite a bit. I can go into some of the features if you want.
This is what, 3/4 length, right?
It comes
down below your butt and kind of meant for sitting. Does it have the split in the back so you can ride in this?
Yep, and that's one of my all-time favorite things. It has the gussets in the back and they zip as well.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So it's a little easier. It's not just a snap or, you know, if you don't want the gusset, like let's say, for instance, one day I was walking around in the rain and it's really, really windy. Then it was nice. I could use the zippers and zip it back down and then, you know, have the coverage there too.
And these, I know all Carrot's jackets are kind of made a little bit more form fitting than, let's say, a non-brand manufacturer. Did you find that way with these, this coat too?
We brutally honest here. I'm not a 20 something anymore.
None of us
and
are.
And as I've gotten older, I can appreciate a little more, shall we say, room and Carrot's really, really comes through when it comes to that. I again, brutally honest, I'll order extra large and it's like, extra large who? This is no.
Right.
So I was very appreciative that this jacket came true to size and really fits very, very well.
You're right. Today's extra large was 10 years ago's medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You got it. And it's frustrating, but they really come through. Breeches and jackets and everything, you can count on them to give you that extra roominess without looking like you're wearing a big plastic garbage bag.
By the way, that's true. To make the women in the audience feel better, that's true for men's stuff too. Like I used to get extra large t-shirts and they fit just fine. Now they're one wash and I can't wear them anymore, you know? So it's like, yes. I weigh the same as I did back then. And now I'm wearing an XXL, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It is. All right. Some of the other features.
Well, I always like anything riding wise, please have a zipper that comes up from the bottom because it's the same as the gusset principle in the back, right? Mm-hmm. It's nice that, you know, you're over the saddle. If you don't, then it just, you know, bunches up there and it's uncomfortable and doesn't work well. And I also like it because when I'm driving in the car, same thing. I like to use that bottom zipper. So that's another thing that I really value when it comes to coats and sweaters and all kinds of things like that. The hood, you can, you know, a lot of these coats have it and this one does. You can either use the hood or you can roll the hood up in a little, you know, place in the back of your neck there so that it's not in the way.
Does this hood have the little extension in the front that kind of covers your helmet if you had your helmet on?
Oh, let me look. I brought it with me.
I know some of Carrot's hoods have like a little lip that would come over where your helmet lip would be.
It doesn't have that one, but it's a pretty generous hood. And then, of course, it also has the drawstrings.
Oh, good. Okay.
So you can pull those around. So it has the drawstrings. And what's nice, it has a drawstring. It's hard to explain. At the hood, but then also another piece down below. Because, you know, sometimes when you pull the drawstring, now you got this big gaping hole at your neck.
Yep.
So this actually has an extra string that you can pull. It's that's elastic. To kind of close that up too. They've covered all my primary complaints about clothing.
Well, good. Well, the big question is, was it waterproof?
Say again, sorry.
The big question was it waterproof?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, and I wasn't surprised because like I said, I have, I don't know, three other coats. One is like ankle length, really long. And I think they must do this. They seal the seams, I think is what they call it. And definitely waterproof.
Well, that's fantastic. And then the other place that always gets you when you're riding, especially and it's raining, is in the sleeves. Do they have the snap at the sleeve so that you can close up the sleeve so water doesn't run down your arm?
Yeah, they do. I think it's either one or two. I'm looking. Yeah, they have the one snap. I couldn't remember if they had one or two. Which is also nice for those of us with short arms.
Yep.
Nope, I'm sorry. Two snaps.
Oh, good.
So for those of us with short arms, then that way it's a little easier to roll it up if I need to and keep it in place.
Okay, so was there anything you didn't like about it?
Actually, no. I got the orchid, and it's very pretty.
Oh, so of purplish color?
It's like a light purple. Yeah, very subtle. So it goes with a lot, really, color-wise, if you're trying to be matchy-matchy. Oh yeah, I did, and I did not think I'd be disappointed. That's why when you said you were posting stuff, I put a reminder and boom, give me that jacket. So
that reminds me, I have to post some more stuff tonight. We have some boots that I have to get posted. I'll have to do that tonight. Oh, well, this is the Carrots Watershed Rain Jacket. Now this isn't cheap, so I'm going to ask you this question: $120. Was it worth $120? You think?
Yeah. It is.
And it'll last a while too. It's Carrots, so it's not going to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you want anything of decent quality with all the features that this has, I'm actually surprised it's not more, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's a good endorsement. Carrots will be happy to hear that. Well, this is great. You know, we love doing these reviews because you guys really test them out. And when I saw you were from West Virginia, I went, okay, yeah, this year you guys have just been hammered. So
we sure have.
What do you ride anyway?
I'm trying to get back to it. I was an eventer and then I lost two of my horses suddenly in a span of 2 years. And I don't know if you remember, but I got a horse through Jamie. And
Yeah.
So he's been fantastic eventing with Martin Duzon, who's an event trainer in Middleburg here. But this old lady's got to get back to it again. He's a big, beefy, opinionated boy.
A thoroughbred that's opinionated? You're kidding. You're right.
Imagine that. Yeah. But yes. So I love him to death, but he's very young and strong and big and bulky. And so we're trying to align, you know, older person with young, funny sense of humor, bulky thoroughbred with an opinion.
It's funny because
and sometimes it's not aligning.
Yeah, Jennifer's going through kind of the same thing with James. Now he's not big. It's the first horse she's had that isn't big and bulky. But she's kind of going through the same thing with James right now, trying to align because James has opinions at 4 years old. And opinions about everything that moves, really.
So
it's like getting used to that. But I hope you get back to eventing again. That would be fun.
I mean, I'll send another horse to Martin Duzant again this year. I got a different off-track thoroughbred. I love it so much. I'm not even sure I'll get back up to the levels again. But I'd be happy Jamie did the other week.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you're out there doing the lower levels. It's just as much fun and a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's true.
It's less distance to fall should that happen. Yes. You know,
yeah.
That's something to think about as well.
Yeah, let's just leave it that I can walk over it if need be.
Yes. Yeah, there you go. It's funny how our bravery diminishes the older we get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were able to do this for you. For us, you got a code out of it. It's the Carrots Watershed Rain Jacket. We'll put a link to the State Line page in our show notes if you guys want to go check one out. And don't forget, State Line Tack, use coupon code HRN. You get 30% off stuff that's already not on sale. Just go to the checkout, put in HRN, and it'll tell you whether it's on sale or not, which products. But this one probably would be. So thank you, Angela, for joining us, and thank you for being a listener and an auditor all these years. I know you've been around a while.
Yep, I do. I am, and I love it. Thank you guys for all you do.
Talking to Angela, who, by the way, did a great job with that review. Terrific one. You can tell she's listened to a few of them over the years. This reminded me that if you want to have the opportunity to do that kind of thing and be kind of an insider with everything we do here at Horses in the Morning, then just become an auditor. Go to horseradionetwork.com, scroll down to the middle page, click on the auditor banner, and for as little as $3 a month, you too can join the party. It's a donation basis. You can donate whatever you want. Some people do three, some do five, some do 10 a month, depending on, it's kind of your way of giving back, and then the hosts split that. All the HRN hosts kind of split that money, so it's a way of giving back directly to the host too. It was kind of also a way of us giving them a bonus every month.
And let me tell you, you can also gift being an auditor to your friend, mom, dad. I did it to my mom for Christmas, I think 2 years ago, and she loves it. So you can also, if you don't know what to buy someone, give them the gift of being an auditor.
Hi, Mom. So I wanted to talk to you about one other thing. We've been talking about Spalding fly predators a lot because we got ours in, and you know, we've been just chatting about watching them hatch and do all that because it is kind of fun to wait for them to hatch. And then
it is, it's like a science project. Yes. When you're little,
it's an event. You know? it brings out the kid in you, is what it does.
Yeah, like remember ant farms? I feel like it's like that kind of vibe.
Yes. A little less creepy. so we put ours out beginning of last week, and I was over the weekend, I was cleaning the stalls, and I was was doing the little, we have some dry paddocks right outside the stalls. I was doing those and we've been inundated in flies, and I was doing those, and all of a sudden I realized there were no flies. It just dawned on me, you know, it's one of those things that it sneaks up on you. You put them out and you forget about it. And then all of a sudden, about a week or two later, you go, where are the flies? Our flies have been reduced 75%.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
In the barn, around the barn, on the horses, 75%. And we did what they, because we have a manure pile too, a compost pile, but it's about 100 yards from the barn. So she said, put it around the barn, all the areas around the barn where they poop. Even if you pick up the poop, put it where the poop was. She said, the poop doesn't have to be there to put the little predators on. So that's what we did. Spread it around the barn. She said, then put some around the manure pile also. So we did that also. And I'll tell you what a huge difference. And it hit me. I wasn't even thinking about it. And I was going, well, I don't have flies all over me.
this
so,
is weird.
Yeah, no, it just, and then I went, wait a minute. We did the fly predators last week. So it's kind of cool that, you know, you forget about it and then it just dawns on you there's less flies.
Well, and that's fast too.
Yes, it was fast. And then we also started using, as Jamie said, they sent us, we didn't even know they had fly spray, and they sent us some of the fly spray. And then Jennifer loves it. You know, that's all she uses now. So Spalding, good job. Good job, Spalding.
Yay!
You can find those at spaldingflypredators.com. Just head over there. There's a 10% discount coupon too. It's HRN10. So you get 10% off your order, HRN10. Well, that's it for today. Don't forget, it's National Grape Popsicle Day. When's the last time you had a popsicle? That's been, for me, probably 20 years since I had a popsicle.
You know what's so funny is actually we had popsicles this weekend, and Levi had his first popsicle, and it was a grape popsicle. So it broke in, like, and so it was just like the little stubby part on the popsicle stick, and that worked out great. He was very confused every time he'd put it in his mouth because it was cold, but it was all so sweet. So he just made the funniest face every bite. And he kept going back for more. I'm like, well, I think he likes it. I don't know.
And then she took the sandblaster to clean it off his face.
And we were in the pool, so whatever dripped off was, we were safe.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Jamie will be back tomorrow. We'll have another show for you. And don't forget, auditors, hang on. Ashley and I are going to get you kind of the monthly report here. Instead of doing a separate episode, we'll just put it here, seeing Ashley's here anyway. Saves her some time. And we appreciate you listening to our nonsense. We'll see you all tomorrow. Send your weird news to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com.